Thank the Lord. Holy Spirit's been here this morning. There's no doubt about that. Thank you for choosing to be here too. And I thank the Lord for the fact that I could be here to receive the blessing. Now, I do walk around a little bit, so don't get too nervous. I'm going to... Some research recently said that if you live in the United States, there's certain things that you can't live without. And so I brought something in here. It's not because I'm going to stay all day here. Well, maybe I will. I don't know. But I brought my suitcase. Again, living in the United States, there's things that you need to have. That's what the attitude is. That's what the research is showing. Now, I'm kind of a visual person, so that's what this is all about. Is there anybody? Of course, I need to know where to set these up. Should I plug this in? Anybody here had light last night or this morning in their house? Raise your hand if you did. I just brought that up because there are times in Florida when we don't have lights on. When the storms come in, the hurricanes go through. So anyway, if you live in the United States, you're supposed to have electricity and have a light. That's one of the things that everybody thinks we need to have. Also, now, it may not look quite like this. Because some of you had some different phones I saw this morning. But is there anyone here who does not have a phone? He's trying to say he wants his parents to buy this from me. Is that what he's saying? But again, if you live in the United States, you should have a phone. Now, we got all kinds of phones. Now, some of you probably have them turned on right now or turned off, one of the two. Oh, and yes, there is a point, too, about having, if you live here in the United States, I'm looking for one other thing. Oh, I guess you're not going to be able to see this very well. But is there any family who does not have a car? Is there any place that does not have a car? Because again, that's one of the things. If you live in the United States, every family should have a car. Is there anyone here who does not have a computer? Oh, you don't have one. Well, again, after Sabbath, we can talk about selling this to you. So what do we call this? Some of you actually recognize that. There are others, there's some who probably didn't. But this morning as we review this, I'm just praying that we will realize that having our stuff is actually a sacred responsibility. And that's what I'm asking us to think about and to pray about as we go through this. We're going to review a story that we're all familiar with. But having stuff is a sacred, special relationship with our God. That's a spiritual experience. A spiritual experience with our God. And we're going to review this story that you're familiar with. But let's bow our heads with prayer one more time before we go forward. Our Father in heaven, as you've given us again this freedom to be here, the time to be here, the place to be here, guide us to think about our responsibility as we think of our relationship with you. But help us to understand our personal values, what's important to us, and challenge us to grow them, to change them if we need to. But Father, again, we just thank you and claim your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at a story that you're familiar with, you know the story of David, this young person who is out there. He was the youngest of the sons, if I'm remembering right. He was out there taking care of, what did he used to take care of? Sheep. The youngest son out taking care of sheep, and along came this person who by the name of Samuel anointed this young man, David, to become what? Here's this little boy out there taking care of sheep, and along comes this person that says, I'm going to anoint you so that you can become king. It's an amazing thing. Do we leave our hearts and minds open for God to come up with some of these things, or do we put a wall around him and say, no, I don't want to think about this. I can't believe it. This is impossible. But remember this story of David. It's absolutely amazing. No spectacular ancestry, and he is supposed to be coming king. But the other thing comes up too. We find that, yes, he was anointed to become king, but he had problems. Even though he's anointed by God, declared to become king, we remember that this boy had an experience with some big tall guy. What was his name? Goliath. And we say, well, God, if you're there, how come there are problems? How come there are problems? This Goliath was a big, tall guy. How tall? 10 feet or 12 feet or something. But David was sent to do something that needed to be done. But also there was this thing with someone by the name of Saul, who was king at that time. We know the story that King Saul got upset and didn't like this David person to become king. And so David had all these problems that come up. May we remember his challenges. But please go to Psalm 121 and notice this. And if you don't have this marked in your Bible, I encourage you to do this. This is Psalm 121. It's amazing, this testimony with David facing all these challenges that he had. Verse 1, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Verse 3, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. Now, this is amazing. It says the Lord will keep you from harm. David said this even when he had all those problems. He was still believing that his heavenly Father could keep him as these challenges came up, these problems came up. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Your heavenly Father. This was David's testimony to you, and I'm asking you to accept this testimony from David, for you to take it to yourself. When the challenges come up, you will have faith and trust in your heavenly Father as David did. Please, please think of this story. I'm convicted of the point, as I mentioned, I guess it was in Sabbath school class, that my parents accepted the Lord and joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church when I was in junior high in a place called Michigan. I mentioned this, a couple of people here heard of Michigan. I think I've been through the Pawpaw, to tell you the truth. But I was born and raised north of Grand Rapids. But my parents, maybe I've told this story before, I'll tell it many times because it just blows my mind. My parents accepted the Lord, joined the church. My dad, I'm sorry if this makes some of you concerned, my dad lost his job because of the Sabbath. He worked in Grand Rapids. I remember him going down there and telling them, taking the baptism. Actually, my brother, myself, my mother went down with my dad. He went into the office and told them that he wouldn't work anymore on Saturday. And shortly after that, he lost his job. But I thank the Lord, I thank the Lord, I thank the Lord. I never, ever one time heard my parents griping about God. Not one time. And shortly after that, and I don't know how it happened, I don't understand but the way the Lord works, but my dad heard that there was going to be an opening in a place called Grand Ledge Academy at the mill. Now that was a few miles from Grand Rapids. I don't know how he heard about it, but it's amazing how the Lord works. And he accepted the job and we moved to Grand Ledge. And some of you may have heard of Grand Ledge Camp Meeting. That was there a number of years. And Grand Ledge Academy, it's just amazing. The Lord works in so many special ways. Please, I'm telling you, we got the personal experience that you could have as David has this testimony. All the challenges he had, he could actually write what we just read here in Psalm 121. Now, David was finally crowned as king over Judah, and the time came when Israel joined the kingdom. Going to the story in 2 Samuel 5, and we find that he reigned there for like 30-some years in Jerusalem. In verse 10, 2 Samuel 5, 10, and David went on and became great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. David was when he was king, there came a time when there was peace in that kingdom. David was used by God to bring peace for that kingdom. And a dream of his came true. As we look at 2 Samuel 6, we find it says, David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord. Because David desired that Jerusalem would be the religious capital of the world. And he wasn't trying to bring glory to himself. He was trying to bring hope and peace to the world. And he believed with all his heart that Jerusalem could be the place that people could find hope, have peace, have courage to go forward. And it says a time came, 2 Samuel 6, when they brought to, and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord. Verse 16, the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, and they placed it in the tabernacle that David had built. Now, during this time, may we remember there are lots of things that came to David. Accumulated lots of things. Now, you may have heard of someone by the name of Ellen White. And she wrote this: the desire to accumulate wealth was implanted thereby. And this is a quiz question. How do you think it continues? The sentence is from Councils on Stewardship. This is where it came from. The desire to accumulate wealth was implanted thereby. And how do you think it continues? It says it was implanted there. And this is Councils on Stewardship, page 148. And I'm asking you to think about this, and read it. Because this is what she says. The desire to accumulate wealth was implanted there by our Heavenly Father for noble ends. And I'm asking you again to understand and read and receive. The desire to accumulate wealth was implanted there by our Heavenly Father for noble ends. Not for ourselves, for noble ends. And I'm just bringing this out. Like I said, I'm a visual type person. And so I brought this. I just want to let you know that this is not real gold, so don't get too nervous. I don't know if you can see it there, but anyway, I'll just put it up here. But all these things, David had all kinds of things coming to him. All kinds of stuff came to him. But it was for noble ends. And I'm asking you to ask the Lord to guide you personally with the things that you have. Do you believe they're there for noble ends or just for yourself? This is our decision. It's your decision. Psalm 112. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, wealth and riches. Did you hear this? Wealth and riches will be in his home. And we also find from even 2 Corinthians 9, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous in every occasion. I'm asking you to let the Lord be your guide in what you have that comes to you. And by the way, as you leave from worship sometime today when we get done, I don't know, we're going to get... The pastor said I could speak here until 4 o'clock. You're going to stay around that long? Okay. Amen. I heard one. But anyway, as we think of what we have in this country, as again we had the testimony about Haiti, and that, please, we are rich people. But I'm asking you to get this handout as you leave. But as we go forward, will we let the stuff we have be a spiritual experience? And this is a situation that I've gone through being a pastor for the years, and the decision that what I have, the material things I have, they can bring a spiritual experience to me. Spiritual experience. Now let's continue on with the story of David. We look at Second Samuel chapter 8. And we find David has still conquest and battles. He still has the challenges, and this is what I'm asking myself to think about and pray about, because so many times, God, why do we have these problems? Are you really there? How come I got these problems? But as came up this morning in our prayer, there is another force on this earth, and he will do whatever it takes to get you distracted, to get you upset. But the point is, our Father gives us choice whether we're going to believe and follow him or not. Because really understand this. Really understand this, that the love of God isn't to make you a robot. But that's sometimes what we think. Well, I'm going to be a robot, then everything can work out fine. Please, that's not love. Love is choice. Love gives you choice, gives me choice. That's the love of God, and the point is he wants your love to grow, to respond to him your personal response to trust him in every situation. And that's what I'm asking you to think about, to trust him with what he's given you, the physical things. It says that David, again, the Syrians, I'm looking at 2 Samuel 8, the Syrians brought tribute to him. David took shields of gold, brought them to Jerusalem. There are articles of gold, silver, bronze brought to him. But we go to 2 Samuel 11. David was a human. Sometimes people will say, well, David, why should I compare myself to David? He's nobody. He's not like me at all. But 2 Samuel 11, we find the story of David continues on. David took his eyes off the Lord and put them on who? David was human. Please look at this story. David was human. He took his eyes off the Lord, put them on someone by the name of Bathsheba. So maybe it was he was feeling successful, caused him to forget the enemy. There, yes, in our culture, there is a problem with affluence. There's a little, again, research went out. There's a story, you may have heard the story, that a researcher talks to some four-year-olds in his office. And he has them in an office, and he says to them, I've got to go out, and I'll be right back in a few minutes. And what did he did? He took one of these. Any of you have seen one of these? That's not chalk. Oh, they think it's chalk. But what is it called? Marshmallow. 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 He took the marshmallow and put it... Will it stay there? He took the marshmallow, put it in front. And this was a four-year-old. Now, this gets the research that was done. He took the marshmallow, put it in front of the young person. Then he went out of the office. In a few minutes, he came back. And he made sure he kept record. Those who left the marshmallow there, because he said, you can have the marshmallow if you want, but if you save it, if you wait until I come back, I'll give you another one. And yes, there were those that left the marshmallow there, and he put another one right in front of them. So there are two marshmallows. But he kept record. And again, the phrase I'm talking about is the instant gratification problem that we have in our culture today. Because it is, if we see something, and this is where advertising comes in and television comes in and all that, we got the problem is if we see something, we want it now. You know, I want it now. I'm going to go get it now. Well, anyway, this is the research that was done. He kept record of all those who ate the marshmallow right then and those who waited until he came back. And what he found out was this. Now, this is a Stanford University test. They studied the same children several years later, and they said they found that those who had grabbed a single marshmallow tended to be more troubled and scored an average of 210 points less on standard achievement tests. Asking the Lord to guide you, to help you understand that we're going to trust him, or we're going to have faith in him, or we're going to let him guide us. Those who think we got to get it right now, it's been proven that there are challenges that come up, that they have difficulties come up. And like I said, it was 210 points lower on the standard achievement test. Those who had that instant gratification attitude, instant gratification, please realize that this has to do with a faith statement. Will we believe our God has a special plan for us that's better than we can imagine? And we're going to wait for him to deliver it when he knows it's the best time to deliver it. Please remember this. But going back to the story of David, of course, the story of Bathsheba, and David was human. He did yield. But notice we go to 2 Samuel 12, and there there's this person by the name of Nathan, who came to David. I just love this story from this point. Nathan came to David. He confronted David. And what did David do? It says he confessed his sin to Nathan. He repented of his sin. And he said he put aside his crown. He took off that crown. And it says he night after night he laid on the earth praying for forgiveness and the purity of heart. This David was a human person. He was a real person like you and me. And when he was confronted and he was able to be honest, He was able to be honest, and I'm asking you to ask the Lord to help you to be honest between him and you. He confessed his sin, and he, night after night, prayed for forgiveness and the purity of heart. And ever remember that our Father will not turn his back on the truly repentant. And I'm asking you to remember this too, because this is one of the challenges that come up sometimes. I did such a stupid, ugly, mean thing. God will never forgive me. God, I might as well give up on my God now. I'm so mean, I'm so ugly, I can't. Please don't ever let that thought come into your heart, your mind. That ain't so, because again, I'm looking at Isaiah 55:7. Let him return to the Lord, and the Lord will have what? Mercy on him, whoever comes. And then John 6:37, whoever comes to me, I will no wise, that's from Jesus himself, says, whoever comes to me. So as we think of the challenges that come up, the temptations that come up, and yes, the times when we forget to ask our Lord to be involved with us, he will not turn his back on you. He will not turn his back on you. The question will be, are you going to turn your back on him? Please don't ever, ever let Satan plant that thought to say, you're so bad, you might as well just quit because your God doesn't want anything to do with you. That is not from God. That's not from Jesus. It's not from the Holy Spirit. That's from Satan, who will do whatever it takes to get you to be distracted. But your Father, Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will no wise cast out. It's an amazing. But going back to my point this morning, going back to Council on Stewardship, the ability to acquire things is not against us. And I bring this up because there are many people say, well, we aren't supposed to be rich. Your God wants you to be rich. But think of this, and we're going to look at some scripture in the future. He says you're going to be living in a place that's got, what's the road is going to be called what? Streets of gold. Your attitude in heaven starts right now. Do you realize that? Your attitude in heaven. Streets of gold aren't going to mean you're not going to be worshiping the streets of gold. We're not going to be worshiping the streets of gold now. But what we do with it now can be a blessing to the world around us. Please realize this, that we, yes, he wants us to have things that we can be his hands, his arms reaching out to help the world, to be a blessing to the world around us. Jesus has entrusted to us the capital of talents and means. Will we let it be a spiritual experience? Let him guide us in the preservation, the use of it. Things are not bad. But yes, it's up to us. They can be addictive and they can be problems, but it isn't that. That isn't what God wants to have us to worship the stuff we have. We aren't to worship the stuff, but can we see something and see it as a truly a tool that the Lord can bless this world with? That's what I'm asking you to think about, to pray about. Now we have the story in 2 Samuel 15 of son Absalom with all the stuff around him, and it's a sad story. Absalom decides he wants to have all that stuff himself. And you know the story, of course. The stuff getting control of him. Now, if our stuff causes us to forget God's way, please pray that the Lord will give you a red flag. Please pray about that. Yes, we have opportunities to deny God's way. He gives us choice. But whatever you have, in if your stuff causes you to forget God, ask the Lord to reveal that to you. But going back to David, he becomes aware of Absalom's problem. He looks across the city, and it's a beautiful city. Psalm 48 talks about this. He says, walk around the city, count her towers, consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the following generation. It is beautiful, the joy of the whole earth. David saw that the city that he was able to build up was to be the joy of the whole earth. He wanted it to be a center so the world can trust their Heavenly Father. But he felt it was God's, and he decided that he did not want that city to be destroyed. So what does David decide to do if there's going to be a problem with his son, if there's going to be a battle going on? He's saying, what kind of deal would this be if we had a battle going on in the city of Jerusalem? So what does David decide to do? Because he saw the city to be a testimony of what God was all about. So he says, this is 2 Samuel 15:14. He says, let us flee, lest he strikes the city. Now, this is an amazing attitude, and I'm asking you to think about this and pray about this as I have to do. David, who is king, and he's actually saying, let's flee from here. And there are some people say, well, what kind of king are you? You're a wimpy, whoopy, willy. How can you be king? You want to run away from this? You want to run away from, you're a wimp to your son? You think he's going to take over? But David wasn't thinking of himself being king. He was thinking about what kind of story would this be to the world if Absalom comes and destroys the city just because he's mad at me. He wants to be in control. David decides he doesn't want that destruction to come to that city. And he chooses to leave. And some would say, oh, you shouldn't be king if you can't squelch this. But he wasn't thinking of himself. He had dedicated his stuff to his heavenly Father, to bring the glory to God. He had dedicated it to the glory of God. And he said, what kind of testimony would it be if it's all destroyed? And they're asking you to think about your stuff. Please, the way you take care of it is a testimony. If you dedicate what you have to the Lord, He will guide you to take care of things. Even during the storms that come up, even when the problems come up, the way you take care of your stuff is a testimony. Think about this. Pray about this. David didn't want the city destroyed during the struggle of power. And so in humility and sorrow, he leaves the city. Please go to 2 Samuel 15 and notice this. I'm looking at verse 15. And true, it was a test for the people. It was a test for the people. Would they say, I don't want to leave my stuff? Or would they trust David to lead them? It was the decision time. We are going to be, and I believe with all my heart, that we're in decision time right now. Do we have our stuff dedicated to the Lord, or do we just have it dedicated to ourselves? That this becomes a testimony to the people around me how important I am because I have this car, I have that boat, I have whatever. Or do we have it dedicated to the Lord? But looking at 2 Samuel 15:15, the king's officials answered him, your servants are ready to do whatever our Lord the king chooses. That's an amazing, amazing attitude. It was decision time for his people. Verse 21, whether in death or life, even there your servants will be. In verse 24, we find that the Levites brought the ark out, but he told them to take it back. It's not going to go with me. It's going to stay there in this dedicated city. Now, David could have stayed and fought there. He could have stayed and fought there because he had support from the people there. And it was a strongly fortified city. But his life wasn't in the stuff. He had dedicated his stuff to the Lord to bring glory to the Lord. That would not bring glory to the Lord to have a fight going on in the family. He didn't want the world to see that fight going on. He wasn't thinking of himself. He was thinking about how the testimony would it be to have a fight going on in that city. And he saw his assets as holy, and the way he took care of them as a testimony. And he went out in order also to give the people time for decision. And as we look at this story, David leaving Jerusalem. But I want you, and this, I'm asking you to think about this. Think about a situation with someone called Jesus. What's the fact Jesus left where and came to this earth? Jesus left where? Jesus left heaven. Jesus left heaven. Jesus left his palace and came to this earth. David felt it was time to leave his palace and go out. And yes, there's going to be a time when we're going to find it will be decision time to leave our stuff. That's right. But we want to do what the Lord guides us to do with it, not thinking of ourselves. Now, it was decision time for David. It was decision time for Israel. Looking at 2 Samuel 15, notice verse 30. 2 Samuel 15, verse 30. But David continued up to the Mount of Olives, weeping as he went. What's the shortest text in the scripture? Jesus wept. Notice a similarity between what David went through and what Jesus went through. And I'm believing with my heart that, yes, realize you're going to be invited to go through the same thing. David felt time to leave his palace, his stuff, because it's a testimony. But it says as they were going out, they continued up to the Mount of Olives weeping. I believe with all my heart that David wasn't weeping about leaving his gold. I believe he was weeping about his son, weeping about the people who wasn't going with him. He cared for them. When the shortest text scripture is Jesus wept. Jesus was not weeping about himself. I don't believe it. I believe he was weeping for the people at his time. He was weeping for you and me. My question to you, have you ever wept for someone else when you care for them? Have you ever had the tears come down your eyes for family or friends or the church? If you haven't, I'm asking you to let the Lord guide you, because this is the attitude of heaven, that we will have our care for our family, our friends, our neighbors. And yes, if we really love them, there will be tears coming out of our eyes. We'll be weeping for them. If it hasn't happened, please ask the Lord to guide you. But another part of this, notice this. It says that David went up to the Mount of Olives. Now, do you remember where the Garden of Gethsemane is? It happens to be in the Mount of Olives. David went to the Mount of Olives. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives and prayed there. I believe with all my heart that you will. Maybe we won't get to the Mount of Olives. Maybe we won't get to the Garden of Gethsemane. But there will be times, truly, when you and I will be asking the Lord for guidance. David went to the Mount of Olives because he spent time praying. He says, weeping as he went, his head was covered. He was barefoot. All the people with him covered their heads too, were weeping as they went. David went to the same place, well, before Jesus went. But they went to the same place to have this prayer time with their God. Please, please, let the Lord impress you to have your prayer time in a special garden. Yes, it could be in your living room, could be in your bedroom, but let that time come to you. Let that time come to you, because the God has the way of giving us the guidance to do what we need to do. David's desire was that his people, his son, could see the fulfillment of life, realizing that God is the one who knows what's best for them. God is the one who knows what's best for them. Jesus is the one who knows what's best for us. Will we trust him, even though we don't see exactly what's going to happen? May we remember, though, that he has a plan for us. Going back to, yes, Jesus left his palace. David left his palace. John 14 says that those who follow Jesus, trust him, are going to live in what? John 14, we're going to live in what? Mansions. We're going to live in mansions. We're going to live in something that's greater than anything we can imagine. We have the scripture that you're familiar with. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man what God has what? Prepared. It's going to be better than anything we can imagine. We're going to be living in mansions. We're going to be walking on streets of gold. In Revelation 21, he who overcomes shall inherit all. Now, true, Revelation also says there's a time coming when we cannot buy or sell. But again, our security isn't in the material things here. Our security is in our Heavenly Father, the love and the power that he has. As we realize we've been given stuff for the King of the universe, it's your decision, it's my decision. And it's in our story, Absalom following his plan, without God being in it, what happens to Absalom? He loses his life. What a difference. Revelation 3 says that we need to realize choice. Jesus wants us to be rich, but we can distort it and say, I have need of nothing. And this is where, again, it's choice time. He wants us to be rich. He wants us to be rich. Not for us, but because this is the attitude of heaven. It's the attitude of heaven. The attitude of heaven starts on this earth. What are you going to do with the stuff you're going to have in heaven? If you just worship your stuff on this earth now, I'm sorry, I don't believe you're going to be in heaven. But if the Lord can give you all this stuff now, all this gold, all of whatever you have, and you let it be in under his control, that is going to be the attitude of heaven. It starts now. If you realize that attitude, that you've dedicated it all to the Lord, and He will guide you in the use of it. It's amazing. But notice the story. David had a heart, sad heart, but he returns to Jerusalem to all that stuff that he left. God brought him right back to Jerusalem, to all the gold that he had, all that things before. Your God wants you to have the stuff, but you're not to worship it. He says that the stuff is there to be able to be a blessing to the world around you, and that will be the attitude of heaven. But again, it starts on this earth. Our God has a plan for us to experience the blessings of being rich, and it starts on this earth. As we look at this, and we think of the things that we have, I just thank the Lord for the testimonies that come up. As you think of your television, now I'm going to say this, that sometimes, yes, people will say, well, we shouldn't have anything to do with television. But it's amazing, we have pastors in the Seventh-day Adventist Church from many decades ago now felt impressed to go on and have a religious program on the television. Do you remember any of those? What was the pastor's name? We had to feel impressed to go out and use this television. The television, I'm asking you, whatever you have, will you let the Lord guide the use of it? And I just thank the Lord for the blessing of that pastor who felt impressed to get on television with the religious programs. And they're going on as we realize it right now. But also a computer. And yes, the internet has a bunch of garbage on it. There's no doubt about that. But you know what? We've had church family members who felt impressed to go on the internet, and you can find what? The Sabbath services from different churches on the internet now. There are people who will become acquainted with the Lord by doing Bible studies on the internet. The Lord impressed our church leaders to do some things with the computer. Do we have it? What we have, do we dedicate it to the Lord and let Him decide on how to use it to be our guide? And we think of the telephone. True? May not be this one. But has anybody ever prayed with someone on the telephone? Raise your hand. Yes. The telephone can be a blessing. As you dedicate it to the Lord, you can feel impressed to call someone up at that time. And again, there's nothing in the scripture that says, call up Sister Smith 2:15 Tuesday afternoon. No scripture that says that. But the Holy Spirit can touch your heart to feel impressed to call that person up right at that time. It's happened to me, again, being a pastor. The Lord impressed me to call someone, and it was exactly the time they needed someone to give them courage and hope, to claim promises for them. As we think of the electricity. It's amazing. Again, I'm from a place called Michigan, and I don't remember hurricanes coming through Michigan. We did have something called tornadoes quite often. But, pardon? Oh, she wants me to remind you that we do have snow in Michigan. But being here when the hurricanes come through, again, electricity. I remember visiting one of our church family members, and he had a generator. And I went to visit him in that time, and there were power cords going from his generator to the houses across the street from him. He was sharing that power with his neighbors. That was a powerful testimony as I saw this. Who would ever think of it happening? Or even money, of course. I'm going to say this is the money, and I'm going to put this back in the middle of the glass. But if you have money to share, and maybe you've done it, you felt impressed to share some money with someone. Yes, the church offerings that we just had, the mission offerings that we have, or even for the local budgets. This is truly, when you've dedicated what you have to the Lord, miracles can happen. And I have a story I'm not going to tell you about being a church pastor in different places. Just the miracles that happen. We did have, just met with one of our ladies again when I pastored the church here in the Orlando area. She came up to me and just mentioned that she still has the car that the church bought for her. And she's had it a number of years. This was a single person. She really didn't have very much income. And she just thanked the Lord. The church felt impressed to get her a car. And she still had it. She was still using it. And again, as we think of the vehicles, how many of you have ever taken anybody in your car to a doctor's appointment or to shopping time or even to church? Your car has been a blessing. When you dedicate it to the Lord, it becomes a tool that truly, truly is a testimony of your love for your God. And this morning, as we think about this, I'm just saying again, it's your decision. Do you want to dedicate what you have into the hands of the Lord? It's your decision. May it happen that you can be a blessing here, can be a blessing in so many ways that maybe you didn't think of. And sometimes we say, oh, well, I'm not rich, I can't do this. But the Lord will provide things just at the right time for the right reason. And He wants to provide it through you and through me. Will you dedicate what you have to Him? I ask you to do this in Jesus' name.